You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Daily Vikings entertainment. We just want the Vikings to win a Super Bowl before we die.
I will ride with this group.
Seriously, man. Please.
And away we go.
Man, what a time to be alive. Just bonus episodes of Purple Daily left and right here. We got the Write That Down predictions coming up today, but I want to ask you guys about Kevin O'Connell's little media tour the last couple days. He went on the Pat McAfee show specifically, and he might have tipped his hand.
That was funny, huh?
He might have tipped his hand with a couple comments. Mm-hmm.
His coach's breakfast thing went, 35 minutes of questions from various people, including our old friend Chris Thomason.
Saw that.
I saw the CT. That was great.
I sort of hugged it out.
Yeah. Well, he gave the awkward side pat
hug.
Well,
he said, I've hugged you twice already, so I'm not going to hug you anymore. But then he said, I'll give you a hug. And he gave the awkward side hug. And Seifert was sitting right there, clearly very uncomfortable. But not as uncomfortable as when O'Connell, who I think has a cold, let loose with a back-to-back sneeze.
Oh, that's the worst,
man. And then said, sorry, Kevin, I might have gotten you there.
Oh, gosh. Dude, that happened, maybe it was a sneeze. I'm trying to remember what it was, but when I worked at Play It Again Sports as a skate sharpener when I was in high school.
Oh, you told this
and,
one. This is gross.
Yeah, the guy who ran the joint was showing me how to, it was like my second week on the job or something. He's showing me the skate sharpener machine, and he was an old Big Ten baseball player from the 1980s, so he put the big dip in his bomb lip. No?
Oh boy!
And get in there. He's like showing me. He's like looking over, and as he says something, a giant chunk of chew. I could see it in slow motion. Flies out of his mouth and lands right on my bare-skinned arm.
Oh man!
And I'm looking just terrified. Like, this wet glob is sitting on my bare skin. And he goes, oh, did I get you? And he leans over and he flicks it off my arm.
Oh, I'm not sure what's worse.
Did I get you?
Worse, that or the threat of a person who's already sick spraying germs. Like, both of those are very close because yours is more disgusting. Your story is more disgusting, but if you're not sick.
I think I take the chew spit on the hand. On the hat.
Yeah, well, right.
You can wash it off.
I agree with that completely. But I mean, you hate to be by a guy who's got the cold, and then he's like, "Oh, sorry, Sorry if I got you.
Yeah. Maybe if some chew comes out of your mouth or you sneeze all over the place, maybe you can call Zero Res and deep clean your home.
Mm-hmm.
Spring cleaning season. It's also like spring allergy sickness season. Just deep cleaning everything is a good call. And that's where Zero Res comes in with a 4.9 rating on Google, 17,000 reviews. Call Zero Res today and ask for the Score North special. You get 3 rooms Zero Resified starting at just $129. And this month, take $75 off when you get those air ducts Zero Res clean. 952-0-RES or ZeroResMinnesota.com. Say you want the Score North special. Spell it forward or backwards. It spells the same. Zero Res. Okay, so KOC, a couple things. So on the Pat McAfee show, McAfee was, you know how he does, he'll push guys. Yeah. It's all kind of fun, but he'll like ask very pointed questions to put people on the spot. And at one point he goes, oh, so Michael Penix?
Right.
And yeah, KOC kind of just like deer in the headlights pauses. Mm-hmm. And he's like, no, just like all the quarterbacks. We like the quarterbacks. We like accuracy. And then at one point he was asked about JJ to JJ. Is there enough room in there for two JJs? And KOC said diplomatically, you got to get to our new practice facility. There's room for a lot of JJs in our practice facility.
Yeah, it was great.
So they were having some fun. But he said one thing very specifically that I think may have tipped his hand. And by the way, like, With Mark Wilf doing the media tour and KOC, not that they would have to, but like they're not making it a secret. They are going to pick a quarterback, right? Like all the they're not even out there being like, you know, they're saying we feel good about Sam Darnold, but they're also talking about all these other quarterbacks.
They're coming as close as an executive in this league does to basically telegraphing their move.
Yep, they're not. They're not being too shy about it. So KOC was asked, what is the most important trait in a quarterback in your mind? And he listed a couple different things like football intelligence and leadership skills and mentally, physically tough. But he doubled down on one thing specifically. He said, quote, accuracy is the most important trait in a quarterback. So I did some digging on Pro Football Focus. I was curious, who in college football were the most among the quarterbacks that are likely to be drafted? Mm-hmm. Who are the most accurate throwers of the football? Not just completion percentage, because that can be deceiving, but actual accuracy rate. And even if you start to look at like depth of target, which is an important thing, driving
like
the ball.
Where
down
are
the field.
You accurate? Absolutely.
Yep. So of all the quarterbacks in Division I college football, whatever, like 150 or 160 qualified quarterbacks in Division I football, the sixth most accurate quarterback was Jaden Daniels, 79% accuracy rate. The fifth most accurate quarterback was J.J. McCarthy, 80% accuracy rate. The most accurate quarterback in the country with an 85% accuracy rate was Bo Nix.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's an asterisk next to it, in that Bo Nix averaged 6 yards depth of throw, like 6.5 yards in the air depth of throw, a lot of shorter throws.
Right.
McCarthy and Daniels averaged 10-plus yards average depth of target.
Right.
So if now, again, like, can they lead? Are they good teammates? Are they not weirdos? Can they process? All those things, but in terms of a physical trait, something you can do with the football in your hand, if accuracy is the number one most important factor for Kevin O'Connell, Bo Nix is interesting because he is the most accurate quarterback. He can make those short intermediate throws. So that's why I keep kind of putting him in the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're looking for guys that can chunk it down the field, intermediate and also deep, and the Vikings live in that intermediate range, right? The fact that Jaden Daniels and J.J. McCarthy are both fifth and sixth in the country last year with an average depth of target of 10 plus yards, almost double Bo Nix. Those are the two guys that instantly stood out to me when I heard Kevin O'Connell say that. J.J. McCarthy, Jaden Daniels, and then like Bo Nix off to the side over here.
So I went and when I saw the prep note for today, I went and did some digging here. And our friends from the 33rd team, which involves a bunch of ex-executives, including Spielman, Zimmer was involved, bunch of quarterback guys, they do accuracy rankings from 1 to 9.
And this is like a scouting grade?
And like this is a scouting grade, yeah. So this is not like a national grade. Drake May fits the profile the best. Caleb Williams is the ideal, but he's gone. Mm-hmm. He scores an 8 in overall accuracy, which is excellent. short accuracy, deep accuracy. He's an 8 across the board, so he's the best, but he's gone. Drake May, who if you make the right trade, and there is ESPN mock today that has the Vikings trading up to the 3rd pick. Goodbye 2025 first round pick, but that's
we'll get to
other,
that one. We'll get to
another
that
discussion. Drake May is a 6 across the board overall accuracy, short and deep. 122 passes thrown of 15 plus yards last year. He was on target of those passes, so 15 plus yards, 52.5% of the time, but the ball was catchable, graded out to a 67.5%. On Bo Nix,
a lot of numbers.
Football.
I hit you with the football somehow.
On Bo Nix, I wanted to look, because I've been far harder on Bo Nix than you guys. I wanted to look and see if there was something there. And I came away from this believing he was even more of a tricked up car than I believed. First of all, his completion percentage at Auburn was 59.5. So it was not good in college compared to the fact that in 2023, it was 77%, which jumps off the page. Absolutely.
So he struggled at Auburn in a more, yep, I guess you could say, pro style or an offense that would ask him to do more things that are relating to what you do in the NFL, right?
Correct.
And then he goes to Oregon and it's much more tricked up and it's short accuracy, boom, 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 right? Mm-hmm. But are we, I guess my poke back is, as a 20-year-old or a 19-year-old or whatever, let's call him a 20-year-old at Auburn, he kind of struggled. Are we just, that's just the story on him then? Okay, so he struggled when he was 20 at Auburn, being asked to do some things that were over his head. Like, I struggle with just, dismissing him because he struggled at Auburn, I guess.
Which is why I looked at what they asked him to do. So my question was there progression within the confines of what you might be asked to do? Or did a smart coaching staff say, hey, you've got skills, we're going to bring them out, but we're going to do it in a very college way, which, of course, won't be applicable now. RPOs, checkdowns. His second progression was almost always a checkdown.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where that's why his pass completion or depth of target was so short.
Yep.
There's just too many things. He was also pressured at Oregon last year, 16% of the time, which was the least amount in the country. So they basically said, get rid of the ball.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Yep. No, this is good. Let's keep going back and forth on some of this, because this information all leads to a story. Mm-hmm. Now, the story can't be complete until they spend, sounds like potentially multiple days with at least J.J. McCarthy, because Kevin O'Connell said over the next several days or over the coming days, they're going to spend time with J.J. McCarthy.
Correct.
So they might be getting multiple days with him, but like being in the room, you really get a feel for whether a guy is full of crap or not, right? And you can look at more of his film and stuff. But so on let's go back to the deep throws, because you brought up one of the stats you brought up was like 15 yards or more in the air for Drake May. Can you throw that one out there again? The Drake May one, 15 yards in the air.
Yep. On target, 52.5% of the time. But then on film, when you went back and looked at the passes that got caught and didn't, so this is probably the more impressive statistic. Mm-hmm. 67.5% of the time, the ball of 15 plus yards on 122 passes was catchable. So 68% of the time.
So here's another feather in the cap of Drake May, but also Jaden Daniels and J.J. McCarthy. And it's possible that all of this is just saying that, hey, maybe J.J. McCarthy does belong in the conversation with some of these other guys. Mm-hmm. So on deep passes that travel 20 or more yards in the air, Jaden Daniels had a 99 out of 100 PFF grade, 22 touchdowns, no interceptions,
wow.
27 what are called big time throws. J.J. McCarthy had a 93 PFF grade. Drake May had a 97 PFF grade on 20 plus yard throws. and 33 big time throws as classified by Pro Football Focus. So it's kind of now Jaden Daniels is playing with more NFL talent than Drake May, and you have to account for some of that when you're watching. But I kind of like that about Drake May, that he didn't sit there with a bunch of future NFL Pro Bowlers around him.
Right.
He's trailing in a lot of games or playing in close games. Like, he's in a dogfight with the Gophers, you know? Like, I think some people, they'll look at a quarterback's record in college and be like, oh, like, how did his team lose to these teams? Well, because he's not playing with two NFL wide receivers and an NFL left tackle and an NFL defense, right?
No, exactly.
So if your life is a little harder in college in that way, I think there's something to be said for maybe it prepares you better for the NFL.
So the 33rd team scouting report figures on McCarthy are intriguing as well. Overall accuracy, they consider him to be sufficient, which is a 5 out of the 9. Short accuracy, he's considered to be good, 6 out of the 9. Deep accuracy, he goes back to a 5 for sufficient. And what's interesting about that, and I think this is one of the main things there, because in this league it's incredibly important, you know, his throw on deeper balls at Michigan were perimeter balls where he struggled. Like, you've seen those throws that went out of bounds, that mm-hmm. went, and now in college you can recover from that. But in the pros, like, those, as Brad Childress used to say, you can only have so many long foul balls.
You might only get like 3 cracks exactly. in a game. You got to hit
foul
one.
Foul balls are used. So like those aren't recoverable necessarily. So I think in vetting McCarthy, one thing that becomes incredibly important is his ability to work to the perimeter, because obviously when you have Jefferson and Addison and this group, the perimeter is going to have to be worked to at times. Yeah. I thought that among the deficiencies with McCarthy was a great talking point, because that's something that a guy like O'Connell is not going to dismiss. That's going to be important in the thought process on J.J. McCarthy.
There is some steam out there that McCarthy has been tweaking his mechanics over the last few weeks too, because especially throwing to the left side of the field, there's some, like, I'm not going to get in the weeds on like quarterback mechanics, but that the way that he is stepping or the way that he is turning his shoulders or whatever is leading to some foul balls that, you know, that should be turned into hits in the NFL. Mm-hmm. So okay. A couple more categories here as we comb through. This is fun. This is a little deep dive into, because Kevin O'Connell has kind of opened up, here are the things that I put value into. Well, performing under duress, whether you're pressured or blitzed, is another huge one, especially with the uncertainty of the interior of this offensive line.
Yes.
You don't know who your center is going to be beyond 2024. Right now, you don't really have a left guard. It might be Blake Brandel. Ed Ingram is a giant question mark at right guard.
And D lines are just really good.
Yeah, even if you have a great offensive line,
yeah,
you're going to have to deal with pressure 20 to 30% of the time in the NFL. So you mentioned Bo Nix was only pressured like 15 or 16% of dropbacks.
Right.
But here's the interesting thing on PFF. The highest PFF grades when pressured, number one, Bo Nix. Now, again, he was pressured a lot less.
Right.
Did the system have a bunch of built-in answers? But, you know, like Kevin O'Connell's system has built-in, like every good offensive system should have built-in answers when you're faced with pressure. Jaden Daniels was second in PFF grade when pressured. He also has the ability to just scoot out of the pocket and run for 1,000 yards.
Yes.
J.J. McCarthy was sixth when pressured. The other guys, by the way, aren't like train wrecks. Caleb Williams and Michael Penix and Drake May, like, they're all within the top 15 or 20, but those were the top three when pressured. Yards per attempt when pressured, Jaden Daniels first, Bo Nix fifth, J.J. McCarthy was seventh. When blitzed, Jaden Daniels, number one PFF grade. Bo Nix, number four. Like, Bo Nix keeps popping up. I see why, like, some people are intrigued by him, because he keeps popping up accuracy versus pressure versus the blitz. But how much of that is just tricked up and built in, and almost anyone could have had this level of performance that, you know, had enough talent? I'll give you one more here for now. This is another category that I think is really important in the NFL. Sack avoidance. So, especially here covering the Vikings and talking about the Vikings, we as media and fans in Minneapolis, or if you're a Vikings fan around the country, I think we fall into the trap all too often of pinning sacks or sack avoidance on the offensive line mostly, where, okay, Kirk Cousins got sacked four times in that game.
Sure.
Blame the offensive line for all four of them, right? Or, boy, look at the protection. Like, he hasn't taken a sack in 5 weeks. And yes, the offensive line does influence pressures and does influence sacks to some extent. But the best quarterbacks in the league going back decades are great at avoiding sacks. Go back and look at like Peyton Manning, one of the least mobile quarterbacks in the history of the NFL. Go look at Peyton Manning from 2008, 2009. He's being sacked like 12 or 15 times in a full season. And yeah, he has Jeff Saturday. He has a pretty good offensive line.
Charles Johnson was his left tackle for a year, and Charles Johnson was awful.
Yep. Peyton Manning was great at getting rid of the ball. Tom Brady was great at getting rid of the ball. Okay.
Yep.
So a good NFL sack rate, the best quarterbacks in the league are getting sacked like 5 or 6% of the time. Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes were the best sack rate quarterbacks in terms of lowest sack rate, sack avoidance.
Yep.
Jordan Love was in the top five. Jared Goff, Tua, Kirk was fifth or sixth.
Yep.
Kirk has become really good at avoiding sacks. The number one sack avoiding quarterback in all of college football by a country mile is Michael Penix. He gets sacked on 2% of dropbacks in college. Joe Burrow, for instance, was sacked 7% of the time on that great LSU team that was maybe the best college football team in the history of the sport. Mm-hmm. So Penix is taking 2% sacks in his 6 year college career. And so that's another thing. Like, that shows high football IQ. It shows being able to get rid of the ball. It shows being able to go through your progressions quickly, keeping your eyes down the field, right? So I don't know. Like, I think going back to yesterday's episode, there's a lot of things to like about six different quarterbacks here. And you have to figure out what's the gap between the different tiers of these guys. Because we just went through a bunch of stuff here. Obviously, Jaden Daniels and Drake May are the big play, like highest upside players, but there's also a lot of great underlying trends with Bo Nix and with Michael Penix. So this is all good news for the Vikings in that there's just a lot of options to find your quarterback of the future.
I'm at five, guys, because Penix I like. Penix, I think, is purely, and I understand it, injury risk, and I don't care. Yes, his combine physical went great, or supposedly it did. Who knows? But the problem there is he's had enough problems where if he drops back, I mean, hell, we went through it here unexpectedly. Bridgewater dropped back, collapsed, and basically didn't play again here.
Yeah.
So like, that's the thing is if that bites you in the ass, that's a problem. But as far as a player goes, Penix is good. Penix is I trust more what I've seen there. And I trust that Washington didn't nearly as much do a college trick up. So I actually think he, A, improved, and B, you know, for instance, he has a really good arm. He throws a great deep ball. Like, he does a lot of the things that if I'm O'Connell, at least intrigue me for sure. If I look at this, though, so let's theoretically say, because we almost know for certain, Caleb Williams goes to Chicago, okay? Jaden Daniels, who I think is probably the guy that I would take next, let's just say that for now, the Commanders hold on to their pick and he goes. So now it comes down to if you can get the third pick from the Patriots, McCarthy or May. The more I look at this, Drake May fits what O'Connell wants the most.
Mm-hmm. And think about the best version of Drake May feels like Josh Allen. Big, tall, athletic.
You probably actually are going to have to get him to run or scramble a little bit less than he would by at the start, just because things will slow down. But yeah, I feel like if you look at Drake May, one, prototypically for sure, but two, as far as like if O'Connell can fit a quarterback piece into a puzzle, Drake May probably fits. Drake May might fit O'Connell's vision more than Jaden Daniels, but if Jaden Daniels was there, I think the overall possibilities would be too great to pass up.
You would adapt if needed. Yep. There's a video going around somewhere on social media. I can't remember who posted it, but it's like a 5 minute cut up of Drake May's long throws down the field, his 20 plus yard throws. Yep. It's like 30 of these throws. And again, he's throwing to North Carolina personnel here. He's not throwing to Malik Neighbors and Marvin Harrison Jr.
The Gopher game. He threw a couple of beautiful deep balls. Like that,
he was rolling out to the right off like one leg and threw a 40-yard dart to the end zone.
Yep.
But it's crazy. He's accurate on like 27 of the 30 or whatever it was, 25 of the 28 deep passes traveling 20 yards or more. So, and also just going back to the deep throw stat that I brought up earlier, 33 big time throws, meaning 50-50 tight window or, you know, like red zone touchdown type, however they classify in their formula. He's got that Josh Allen, and you might have to coach a little bit out of him because he's very willing to just sling it and make a, I'd rather have a guy that has that in him than a guy that is just sort of a nervous check down, nervous Nelly, eyes are looking at the offensive line. Like, give me a guy that's going to be willing to throw Brett Favre, Josh Allen, gunslinger type throws.
And it's why scouting college is so tough at times too, because like these coaches in college aren't hired to train guys to be pros. They are, you know, the reason why they're hired is to win football games, right?
Yeah.
So like that's where you've got to sort of dissect the film. And I think Drake May, like I think what you see on his film is a lot of Sunday attributes. And that's the, you know, that's the question.
Yeah.
And true. If you could throw deep, that's awesome. And that's good. But again, across the board, like there's so many variables here of, you know, especially like the Vikings. I mean, Justin Jefferson, it's not like his average depth of target every time is 20 yards. You know, there's some crossing routes. There's some things like that. Mm-hmm. Can you throw on time? Can you make anticipatory throws? Because in this league, if you can't, you're probably screwed. But that's why I think Drake May, like of where the Vikings could fall, because I don't think they're going to get the second. I think the Drake May one would probably be their dream scenario. The more I examine this, even more than McCarthy. I don't think they'd complain about McCarthy, but like Drake May has a lot of those attributes built in that I think O'Connell thinks, oh, hell yeah, I could build off those. Assuming the personality fits, and that's a whole different question, and that we can't know.
Yeah, that's the only thing that we can't find a PFF stat, obviously, on it. We can't find a statistic on it, but I go back to what he said the other day on Monday, which is like when he walks into a room, he changes the room, right? He changes the attitude, he changes the perception. You feel that presence, which just some people have and some people don't have, and you could be as, you know, talented Raleigh like Bo Nix and every basically college quarterback, like you're one of the, you know, 50 best quarterbacks in the world or so. But what do you feel like when you walk into a room, and what is the feeling like around him? And that's the one area we can watch all the tape and all the football nerds can break down the tape. But I think those behind the scene conversations, which we'll never really get access to, those are going to be the defining things of what probably separates a few of these guys.
But didn't you guys love the fact that like O'Connell explained that in detail?
Mm-hmm.
Because he called them building changing QBs. I love that. Like that's the thing is, do you get that? And I know that, you know, everybody wants their players to be alphas, right? Like everybody wants that, but can you define it? And O'Connell did. I'll go back to, and I know O'Connell jokes about his career because it was not long and successful, but I'll go back to everything that we discussed yesterday that he learned from that. And as you said, Phil, I mean, you're in the same quarterback room as Brady.
Yeah,
like everything, and O'Connell strikes me, I don't think this is breaking news, as a complete sponge. Like he strikes me as a guy, and there's a lot of coaches or guys that basically quarterbacks who things deflect off of them. And so you're like, hold on a second. You were in the room with this guy and you didn't learn a damn thing. O'Connell to me, the polar opposite. I think he absorbed everything.
Agreed. I agree. I have one more thing on this, just in terms of what does Kevin O'Connell want in a quarterback? This is really interesting. So we've spent some time talking about deep passes, but if you look, there was 40 qualified quarterbacks that played at least 20% of their team snaps last year. The Vikings had three of them because Kirk played a half season, then Dobbs played enough to qualify with his two stops, and then Nick Mullins qualified too. So stick with me on this. In terms of percentage of pass attempts that travel deep, 20 yards or more, Kirk Cousins was 39th out of 40. So he had the second lowest percentage of deep pass attempts of any quarterback in the NFL last year. Josh Dobbs was 27th. That also includes some Cardinals stuff, so it's a little noisy.
Sure.
But the second most frequent deep passer in the NFL was Nick Mullins. Nick Mullins, Nick Mullins threw twice as many deep passes percentage-wise.
I buy it.
Compared to Kirk Cousins. Isn't that interesting? So which one of those guys, those are two extremes. Nick Mullins is second in percentage of deep throws. Kirk Cousins is second to last.
Right.
Operating the same system in the same year.
Right.
With the same head coach. But which one of them is doing it the way that Kevin O'Connell, is it possible that Nick Mullins is like, whatever you want, coach, whatever you want, coach. Yeah, I'll throw the ball down the field. Is this actually a deep passing offense that Kirk really didn't feel comfortable taking it to that extent? And Nick Mullins is like, hell yeah, dude. Yeah, Let's go.
But the problem with Nick is he's like a bad Favre. Because he's like, you think Brett Favre was foolish with the football? Watch this pass. I think it's very much in the middle. That's what I think.
Yeah.
Like did Kirk take as many chances as O'Connell wanted? Probably not. Like that goes back to his whole conversation about, you know, balls that I don't advise and passes that I do advise. And I mean, Kirk, at the end of the day, Kirk was going to be Kirk. Kirk was going to be, I mean, the man checked down the ball on 4th and 8 with the season on the line for 3 yards. But I mean, Mullins at times was absolutely like Kirk drunk. I'll just throw the ball here. I'll throw the ball there. I think it is.
Hell yeah.
I think what O'Connell wants is something that's probably a little bit more aggressive at times than Kirk. But not nearly as, how can I put this nicely, destructive as Nick was.
Yeah. So I thought that was interesting. But yeah, really, so Kevin O'Connell opening up about just the different things that he likes, accuracy being really important, but we also know that he wants his quarterbacks to be driving the ball down the field. So I guess my biggest takeaway from all of this is twofold. Number one, J.J. McCarthy, in some of the statistical comparisons, actually does profile closer to the Jaden Daniels, Drake May level when you look at some of these numbers we went out. And Bo Nix actually pops a lot in some of these categories too, but how much of it is just a guy that's being propped up? And that's what the Vikings had to figure out. And he really wouldn't be an option unless the draft goes horribly at the top.
Right.
And
right.
They find themselves kind of boxed out, and now they have to make a decision on, well, crap, is there a plan B here at 11 as we survey that part of the draft?
Absolutely. Yeah. So as I said, I think the two guys, I think they'd be very happy with May, and McCarthy would not be a bad choice. I mean, Jaden Daniels is probably the best choice possible, but I just don't think, I mean, unless Pelissero is right and Washington moves off of him or something crazy takes place, I got to think he's gone second.
Yeah. So buckle up. Four more weeks of speculation. Declan's going to pull all of his hair out in the next 4 weeks because he just wants an answer right now.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to have to be patient here.
Declan ain't pulling his hair out. He can do a lot of things.
I got it very groomly pulled out on Monday. But, yeah, no,
groomly?
Groomly pulled out? I don't know. I was trying to find like the best way to say pulled out, and then I was thinking you could understand
the
predicament that was in my head there.
Groomly, dude. We might have just invented a new business right there.
Groomly.
And the Groomly app.
Check the Groomly it out. App.
Hey, if you're a business owner, maybe Groomly is your business out there. You should have a game plan in place to stay focused on safety and preventing claims. Let the team at Federated Mutual Insurance Company help and support your business. Federated offers a customizable lineup of industry-specific coverages and risk management services to help you continue your winning streak as a great business owner. At Federated, it's our business to protect yours. You can find out more at federatedinsurance.com. All right, boys, we got another episode coming up today too. Write that down Wednesday, an accountability session. And I think we're going to squeeze in the latest round of NFL win totals. Some disrespect for your purple.